Shark Bagley. Shark Bagley.
Shark Bagley. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Shapbagley, all things loose and disorderly, with me, Katie Johnson, and my good friend Howard Middleton from the Great British Bake Off. We're on episode 93, which also happens to be the number of minutes it took to assemble the body of a Ford Model T on the production line. The speed you can reach in miles per hour on the world's longest zip wire across the Jebel Jais mountain in the UAE, and the record for the most nuts thrown and caught in a can on a head in 1 minute, set by Austin Coon from Virginia in the States in 2020. So hope all's well wherever you are in the world. It's been a busy one this end, and in fact, that's how we began our conversation.
I'm still recovering from the weekend. I had 2 online classes on Saturday and 1 on Sunday. There was shoe snowmen and Mont Blanc tartlets. Anyway, the first one overran a bit. And, you know, when you've only got an hour to turn round, and I'd planned to quickly get something to eat. Peter and I quickly do the washing up, get something to eat ready for the following class at 8 o'clock. Mm. We managed to do the washing up and everything, but just didn't manage to get anything to eat. So it was then 10 o'clock before we had something to eat. And it's like, I was so... diet. And then you have a glass of wine or whatever, and you think, oh, right, it's 2 o'clock now. I think I ought to go to bed. And,
oh,
and
no.
Then to have another class the following day, it's like,
oh,
so I'm just catching up.
Yeah. Well, since we spoke, because I know we'd just come back from Wales when we chatted last time. Well, this time after chatting, we then hot-footed it down to East Sussex, which is a long way from where we are. It took 6 hours to get there.
Really?
Could have gone on holiday abroad. And then we did the event. It was with Rosemary Schrager, who we've worked with before.
Yeah.
And by the time we packed up, we then travelled back and we got in at 3:15 the following morning.
Shall we just go to bed? It's like, you know. Whose idea was it to do this podcast when we're so tired?
And then we then went to Bath and we came back last night and it was lovely, but we're just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is awful because obviously it sounds like you've been even busier than I am.
It's not a competition, so, H. It's not a competition.
Oh, I know, but... It is a little bit about who should feel more tired. You should definitely feel more. All I've had to do is wash up in the kitchen.
Oh, dear. Yeah. No, it's all good. Anyway, that's it for me now. I've finished. I've broken up for the year.
Have you? Mm. Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not doing any more now. Glyn's still working. Glyn's working every day. He's doing the panto.
Yeah,
and, doing the sound. So, yeah. So, what about
you? Are you not going to see him in the panto? Well, you know, he's not actually in the panto.
I might do. I might volunteer. I might volunteer for the bar, H.
Yay!
So, is that it for you? Have you got some more?
No, I've got some more. I've only got one or two. Tomorrow, I've agreed to do a cake judging up at the university. So that's not really a kind of gig as such, but yes, I'm gonna pop up. I think it's sociology. I don't know what sociology is. Do you?
Sociology. What? Is that people talking to each other? Sociology.
Is it people talking to each other like a podcast?
That's very social. Sociology. I don't know. So look, sociology.
I don't know what sociology is. Anyway, I've got to go there and judge cakes. I wonder if sociology people do particular kinds of cakes. I wonder if they have a particular taste in cakes.
Sociology. It's the study of social life, social change, and the social causes and consequences of human behaviour.
Oh. They said as well that they're going to be wearing Christmas jumpers.
Have you got one?
No. Oh. I've never had a Christmas jumper. Have you got
I love a Christmas jumper. I love it.
But you've got one.
I've got a Christmas jumper. Yeah. It's got, I think it, the latest one I got was Rudolph with a red nose, which is unfortunate because you can't really see his nose because of a large chest. We've had this conversation before. But you can kind of get the outline without knowing that, yeah, that's where his nose is supposed to be.
Oh, bless. Oh. No, I've never owned one. And I'm going to look very kind of unfestive, aren't I? I suppose, for everybody else that's there in the Christmas jumpers.
Have you not got... you must have a really nice scarf and a nice, colourful jumper. Can you crochet one before tomorrow?
If I managed to lose weight, I could get into my cushion cover. Just slip that on.
Lose a stone overnight. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah. Oh, dear. I know, I think I'd be worried if I lost weight that quickly.
I think we all would age, but I think it must be a woman thing. We always dream that maybe we'll wake up and a stone lighter. But the only way we'll do that is either if we give birth or chop our heads off, which, of course...
Oh, no. Not a good sign. I had an awful dream last night, actually.
Not
I dreamt that I was. I know. I've got to stop having these dreams. Well, I can't stop having them, can I? Cheese again.
Was it cheese?
Yes, I've just remembered it was cheese again. I'm out on the moors. I don't know what I'm doing, walking on the moors.
Whilst eating your cheese?
No. I'd eat my cheese, went to bed. In my dream, I'm out on the moors.
Right. What the ring, and, what the ring, what the ring hides. Right, you're on the moors.
On the moors. And I thought, that's a funeral hearse there.
Oh,
somewhere. Yes. And they were conducting a funeral out on the moors. Yeah. And I'm thinking, I don't want to get in the middle of a kind of private sort of, it's not a celebration, but a private occasion. Yeah. So I need to make a detour. So I went down this path, and suddenly this path is like, oh, my goodness, this is really, really steep. Oh, I'm going to fall down this path. And then I woke up. So I was so I don't know whether whether in your dream, but we need to look at walking on the bus, funerals, or very, very, very steep paths.
Right. Let me have a look. Hang on, stay there. Hey there, mister. So what am I doing? Funeral.
Yeah.
It's a bit macabre, that, isn't it? What cheese was it? Was it soft cheese?
No, cheddar. It's nice. Well, it was like double cheese, actually, because it was cheese bread, which I toasted and then put a bit more cheese on top.
You see, it says if you attended a funeral of someone important to you, indicates that a particular stage in your relationship with them is coming to an end. But no, it doesn't say anything about just people. So what, is it a hill?
Yes, very steep path.
Hill? Oh. To be among hills says you would benefit from a short holiday or some relaxation.
Oh, that's... I tell Peter that. You know, even my dreams are confirming that we need a short holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever dreamt about a hip?
A hip?
Well,
no.
It's gone from hill to hip, and it says if a woman dreams she has big hips, she may become a mother, an aunt or a grandmother before long. But if a man dreams he has wide hips, he may take a more active role in the community. For instance, becoming a policeman or a fireman.
I'd have to work that out. They must have done a survey of people who've dreamt about hips.
I've never dreamt about
and
hips.
And seen how many women have had children and how many have become policemen.
Yeah, isn't that funny, isn't it?
Strange.
So I think the moral of this, though, once again, Howard, is just don't eat cheese at night. Love.
Don't eat cheese.
No cheese at night. Now then, we've heard from a couple of people, one of which has pointed me in the direction of somebody to chat about today. And it's possible that you've heard of this particular lady. This is from Anne Marie. Hi to you, Anne Marie. I've just started listening and love your podcast. Have you seen the I Hate to Cook book written by Peg Bracken in 1960? I think you would enjoy its humour and imaginative recipes. Oh. Had you heard of Peg Bracken?
No.
Well, I
that's
hadn't.
No, Peg Bracken.
Peg Bracken. Well, we like Peg Bracken. She was an advertising copywriter, and she wrote about her passionate dislike of a traditional womanly duty, basically cooking, cleaning, or anything like that. And it says, long before the microwave became a fixture of every home, the I Hate to Cook book was creating a quiet revolution in millions of kitchens in the States and abroad. It was first published in 1960, published in various editions over the years, sold more than 3 million copies, and every baby boomer's mum, or so it seemed, had one on the kitchen shelf. I saw some pages of one of these books. And she did do recipes, but with very tongue-in-cheek. There's a couple of I've got to read out to you. But it made her a celebrity. She appeared on telly, radio, and was a spokeswoman for Bird's Eye Frozen Foods. We chatted about frozen people last week, weren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
So, for instance, in the introduction, it says, some women, it is said, like to cook. This book is not for them. This book is for those of us who hate to, who have learned through hard experience that some activities become no less painful through repetition. Childbearing, paying taxes, and cooking. And it says, the book is for those of us who want to fold our big dishwater hands around a dry martini instead of a wet flounder come the end of a long day. And, some of the things that she comes out with. There are recipes. So, for instance, she's got a chicken artichoke casserole and all that, and dinner party what have yous, but it's the little comments that she goes along the way.
Oh, yeah, I just read it, this bit here where it says, brown the garlic, onion and crumble beef in the oil. Add the flour, salt, paprika and mushrooms. Stir and let it cook 5 minutes while you light a cigarette and stare sullenly at the sink.
But there's one here that follows on from her casserole, and she talks about wants her privilege to watch a beef stew being photographed in the studio of a major food photographer. It was a superb stew. The gravy glistened richly, the beef chunks brown and succulent and in beautiful juxtaposition to the bright carrots and the pearly onions. I can make a respectable beef stew myself, but my gravy is never that gorgeous and my onions invariably sink as though torpedoed. I inquired about this and discovered that the gravy had been dyed and the onions had been propped up on toothpicks. And then it says, moreover, that very same morning they told me they'd had to lacquer a lobster. So there you have it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Amazing. I love it. So thank you so much, Anne-Marie. Because we were talking about boiled cheese. Was it last week or the week before boiled cheese? Can't remember.
I think it was the week before, yeah.
She's got a potted cheese. So this is 3 8-ounce packets of tasty processed cheese, a pound of bacon, fried, crisp, crumbled, drained, and a bunch of spring onions, diced and small. And she says, just mix it all up, put it in a pretty oven-proof bowl, then bake it at 400 degrees for 20 minutes. Serve hot or cold as you like with cream crackers. So it's just she's using store ingredients to create something.
Do you know, I think we need more of that, don't we? Especially over the festive period where people just do stuff that's easy rather than having to be too ambitious about what you can do for guests and so on.
I never understand, because I know my mum used to get, she used to be in the kitchen Christmas Eve, early in the morning, late at night. And I think, no, you don't need to panic or whatever. It's just in the prep, isn't it? Get your prep sorted.
Yeah.
And you can cook and it's get wine, get the carols on in the kitchen, and it doesn't have to be stressful. Let me tell you about this. This is, again, from the book. It's under the title of Spuds and Other Starches, or Ballast is a Girl's Best Friend, which... She says, just say potato to the lady who hates to cook, and 10 to 1 she'll think jacket baked. No wonder. The honest jacket-baked potato is a noble thing, and just like your little basic black dress, nobody notices it especially, but nobody objects to it either, and you can dress it up or down. Doesn't dirty a single pan. Yeah.
Isn't
that fab?
So it is fab.
Thank you,
Anne-Marie. Wonderful.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Yeah. And we touched on, because Teresa messaged last week and said, did we hear about the moose that fell in the basement? Remember that through the roof, and it was in the living room or something?
What was this? Is this a chocolate mousse or a butter?
No, a real mousse.
Butter carrot. A real mousse.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
It was a real mousse. And real Teresa mousse. Said, had we heard from it? Well, Jerry says the mousse that fell into the basement in Soldotna, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Alaska. It was a big to-do, but firefighters carried it outside and all was good.
Oh. No, wait, I thought you said then, had we heard from the mousse? It's like we start listening to the podcast.
We can now take it that the mousse is fine.
Yeah.
Anne has been in touch on our Facebook page, who's now officially a top fan. I like the fact we get top fans now. And following on from Nutballs last week, Margaret says, my mum had a recipe for Russian tea cakes that is just like the Nutballs recipe. But I think I'll stick with mum's name for the recipe, though, please, if you don't mind. So yeah, she's going with Russian tea cakes. Have you done anything for Christmas? Because I've not done a thing.
Oh, I have. Yeah,
oh, have I've you?
I have. Well, one of my ongoing jobs that I do, I always do labels for my mum because obviously she's partially sighted. Not a label for my mum. I am Jude. It is Christmas. No.
Right arm. Kind of label. Left hand.
Anyone finds me, please return me to Sheffield.
Bit like Paddington.
It's not. Yeah. No, I do labels for Christmas cards. So we've got like a sort of, what would you call it? It's not. It's hardly a database. It's a list of
spreadsheet.
Spreadsheet that she sends Christmas cards to, and we. The other day, I phoned her and I said, let's go through your Christmas card list. Who are you sending them to this year? I'm not sending as many, she said, as I normally do. So let's take some people off the list. And we went through. We took one person off. Sylvia.
Oh.
Because she'd phoned Sylvia. She'd said to Sylvia, shall we not bother sending Christmas cards this year? And Sylvia had agreed with her. So we were able to take Sylvia off the list because they'd agreed that they weren't sending Christmas cards this year. Everybody else has stayed on the list. So it's like... So I've printed off the labels for her and bought some Christmas cards and then treated myself to some rather nice designer wrapping paper as well. So,
what?
Yes, that's my... And I've got some presents as well. Yeah, I bought some presents.
Anne, can we go back to the designer wrapping paper?
Yeah. I suppose having a background in design, sometimes you'll think, right, just going to wrap in something very plain. And there have been years when I've wrapped in something very, very plain. And then other years, like most years, when the kind of art and design bug grabs me and I think, oh, that's nice. Really like that.
Is it handy? Can I have a look?
Yeah, of course you can. So.
Oh.
That's one side. It's kind of retro and it's double-sided and it's black on the other side with baubles on it.
Double-sided wrapping paper.
Yes. So I can choose which side to use. And there's also that one as well.
Oh, it is very nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, and I'm also supporting a small business, so that's
okay.
Not permanently.
Am I allowed to ask how much it is for a is it a roll or just sheets?
I think it's a sheet. It's by sheet. I think it might have been about $2.50.
No.
A sheet. And I got 15% off as a new customer. So,
and of course, you're supporting a small business.
Yeah, so I treated myself to gift tags as well.
So when who's getting what then? I went out. Oh no, because they might listen, might they?
Who's getting what?
Because last year Peter bought your present, didn't he? But you go and buy it, don't you?
Yes, I've done that again this year. Right. Yeah. No, there was a book that I wanted, which I saw earlier on in the year, and then it went out of stock. And then I saw it had come back in. So I ordered that the other day, and that can be one of his presents to me. I decided this morning, in the early hours of the morning, what else he's going to buy me for Christmas. Yeah.
And?
I'm going to get some of those like a sleep mask. Oh. Do you know, have you ever worn one?
On a plane once.
Have you? Mm. I don't know how much they are. But he's got a habit at the moment of waking up at about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, deciding he wants to have a look at his tablet, his laptop thing, puts the his lamp on it, his side of the bed, and it's like, oh, it's suddenly really, really bright in the room. Yeah, so I need a sleep mask, I think.
Well, why don't you just tell him not to put his light on?
Because I don't want to. He's probably got a glass of water or something at the side of the bed, and if he didn't put the light on, that would go over the tablet, which is probably at the side of the bed.
Okay. And, you can get those reading things, though, can't you? You could put something on his head and have a little.
That was the other thing. I did wonder about that. We could get something for each other. So he could buy me a sleep mask,
yes,
and I'll get him a little light that fits on top of
his head.
Tablet. Oh, and his head!
Have you not seen them? They're like a little strap, like a little miner's helmet, but just a strap.
Exactly. Well, I've never slept with a miner. Have you?
I think you need to rephrase that, H. But the answer to both questions is no, I haven't.
No.
Do you know that straight away reminds me of the village people?
Why have you slept with the village people?
It's just, wasn't there a miner come type person in the village?
There was
people.
A construction worker.
Oh, is it
there
construction?
Was a construction worker with a yellow hard hat. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I think of all of them, he was probably the most attractive, would you say, at the village people?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. We'd have to have a look. Certainly not. I feel awful, but I don't think the leather guy. No. But
when you say the leather guy, maybe. It sounds like he's been out in the sun way too long and he's gone all limp. Crusty. Are any of those people still
alive?
Well,
it's like that. I think I've told you before. We've probably talked about everything before. I've got this. When I bought Peter's armchair a few years ago, it came with this kit called Leather Master, which is for cleaning it. And I always think that sounds a bit, suspect. Yeah.
Speaking of furniture, I haven't told you this, have I? Did I tell you my sister, out of the blue, said, I can't possibly sit on that seat again when I come for Christmas?
No.
Right. Well, it's the one I bought for £5. You know, that huge extravagant purchase.
Yeah.
But she's got a problem with her back or something. Anyway, she's decided that she can't sit on that for when she comes for Christmas. So thought, right, okay. So, because we've been working, I've not had much time to go and get something. But on Sunday, we had to take the van back after this big thing we were doing. So I thought, before we take it back, we'll pop to a furniture store about 40 minutes away, see if we can grab one, because you can buy them and take them home, and then go from there. There was nothing. There was loads, but they're too big. You can't get them through the door. They make furniture now too big to fit in a normal home, I would have said. He said, well, have you got patio doors? No. No, we've got patio doors. If we had patio doors, we'd be able to fit the settee through or the chair through. But no, we haven't. So anyway, we had to go. Anyway, conscious of the van was having to go back, my sister's coming in a couple of weeks, and we haven't got anything for her to sit on. So we're driving, Glyn's driving the van back, and we had probably an hour to get from where we were straight to home to pick up the other car so we can come home.
Yeah.
Anyway, so on the way, I thought, I'll just have a look on a well-known social media site that you can buy and sell from. Anyway, I looked up chair. Anyway, sure enough, up popped two leather chairs. Two for £30. And it's so clean and comfy, I thought, right? So messaging, so this is Glyn's driving. Hello, please could I have the dimensions, please? Bearing in mind the previous conversation, if they're too big, you can't get them through the door. They're not mine, they're my sister's. I will forward and ask her. Right, yeah, nothing. It's not answering the phone. Well, could I have a number and I'll message her? So this went on, because time's ticking, we're getting closer to our destination. Long story short, finally managed to get hold of the sister, finally managed to get the dimensions, and then I said, well, we're going to be passing very soon, please may we pop in? No, because she was going to work. So anyway, she then said she would ring work and be a bit late. Okay, how much were the chairs? What did my sister put them on for? Which is an awkward conversation, isn't it? How much did my sister put my chairs on for? I said it was £30 for a pair. Okay, right. So of course we finally get there, pulling up, I get to the door and I said, thank you ever so much for doing this, but we've just realised neither of us got any money on us. Well, of course, if you know somebody, that's fine, isn't it? We never met these people. And there's me. I'm in me probably scruffs because we thought we were going to be humping furniture. There's a woman there very nicely dressed because she's going to work. A hubby's behind, who looks very excited about the whole experience of this woman appearing, saying, please may we pick up this settee, this chair, and we've not got any money. Anyway, I just have one of those faces, put them in the back of the van. They were going to follow us to the cash machine.
No!
So, we drove very slowly with them on our tail all the way to, 20 minutes, and she even came out to the cash machine with me. So handed the money, thank you very much, and that was it. So now we have two chairs that my sister can sit in, not at the same time. But of course now I've got too many chairs in the lounge. And I've not got a van. I can't move anything because the van's gone back.
Did you want two chairs? Could you not just have said that... I'll just take one of them, please.
No, because it was a pair. No. And I'm standing there and I've no money. And if I said, can I just have one? But in fairness, they're very nice. I mean, they are. They're smoke-free, which is nice. That's the people, not the chairs, smoke-free. But yes, so they're really nice. They're on an unfortunate colour. They are white.
No!
Which, when you sit by a log fire and you've got a golden retriever, we're in the countryside, it's not the best colour, is it? No. But at least my sister can have something to sit on.
So why will she be able to sit on these? And is it because they're a bit more supportive?
A bit more comfy.
Than the other? Yeah.
Of course, my sister hasn't sat on them yet, has she?
So, no, she might not like them.
I know. And then at that stage, I think we'll just have to ask her to leave.
And then what? This is interesting because then you can put them up for sale, but she can be in charge of the sale, and then she can refer to, oh, them, it's my sister's chairs, and it'll all go back round again, won't it?
Fingers crossed my sister likes the chairs, H. I don't know what's going to happen if she doesn't.
You wouldn't go to the trouble of dyeing them then, would you? You can get leather dye, can't you? But then there's always a risk that it's going to transfer onto your sister's clothing, which...
I've got a blanket. I'll just fling it over. It's fine.
That's a good idea. Yes.
1972.
Right. Yes.
British people.
Oh, the Village People were formed in 1972.
No, 1977, sorry. 1977.
Oh, right, I thought, yeah.
I'm just seeing if they were still around.
If the Village People are still around, they can't all be still around, surely.
How many of the Village People are still alive? Oh, there's only one. Oh, well, I don't know if they've gone, but there's only one original one. So have a guess of all the occupations in the Village People. Which one do you think is still doing it?
Police.
Yes.
Policeman. Yay!
How did you know that? Did you know?
I don't know if I'm so obsessed with the Village People that that's one of the things that just lurks in the back of my mind, ready to pop out at any occasion.
How funny that you knew it was the policeman. Go west, do 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 do. Go west.
We had that as our, when Peter and I had our civil partnership, we had that as our kind of leaving music.
Were you going west?
No. We were in a restaurant called Due South as well, which did seem a bit strange.
So you were going west in Due South?
Yeah.
Oh, how funny. Anyway, we've done it again. We've got to be ever so careful.
I've not talked about food.
Well, I've managed a little bit. What about you? What have you got for us?
Right. We have actually sort of segued into this a little bit because we were been talking about parties and Christmas and things like that. Well, your sister coming round.
Oh, I see. Right.
And we've also mentioned about nibbles and things, haven't we? And not stressing out too much about what you have as party food and so on.
Okay.
So I was delving into How to Eat Better for Less Money, the James Beard and Sam Aaron book. And apparently one of the things, I mean, you wouldn't expect cocktail parties to be part of How to Eat Better for Less Money. It's just about putting meals on the table, isn't it?
Yeah.
But no, they have a different approach. I think James Beard was always a little bit more extravagant. So cocktail parties, he says there are two distinct points of view about who should mix the drinks at a cocktail party. Some people like the idea of the host preparing the first round and then letting the guests ad-lib their own. Do you think that's wise? Others prefer to have someone definitely assigned to the role of bartender. My opinion is that if guests mix their own drinks, some will get good ones and others poor ones, depending on their know-how and attention to what they are doing. For high standards and uniformity, the host or his delegate should preside over the bar throughout the party, and the appointee, if he is not a professional bartender hired for the evening... That's what I mean. It's another world, isn't it? So try and save money. Just toying with the idea of having a professional bartender for the evening. Anyway, if it's not a professional bartender, it should be someone willing to wait until the rush hour is over before serving himself, so that he will have a clear head and an accurate hand for mixing and pouring. So that's sensible. Don't give the job to someone who's already had too much to drink. But the funny thing I thought was, amongst the equipment, because they list equipment for this party as well.
Good luck.
They suggest a few kitchen towels or washcloths for mopping up. So they're obviously realising that at some point, even with a professional bartender or a host with a clear head, there's stuff going to get all over the shop, isn't there? So
that could be my new role. I could hire myself out.
Oh, you would maintain professionalism. You honestly would, wouldn't you?
I'd try.
You wouldn't,
I'd try.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you...
No, you wouldn't be drinking until you got home, basically, would you? So.
Oh, that's awful, though, isn't it, being the only one that doesn't drink at a party? Oh.
Do you know, I think it shows you, though, doesn't it, what your behaviour is like. Because if you do... it's like when I've done hen parties and things like that, and all, you know, the group is down in the drinks and you're the only one who's sober, and you sort of think, gosh, I must be a bit like this sometimes. And it's worrying, isn't it?
I do worry about you, that those hen parties, though, Howard. So what if they take advantage of you? Or try to? I mean, we've already had the cleavage on the photograph. It's only a matter of time, H.
You think? Mm. Oh, no.
I think you need a chaperone.
Oh, yes, you could do that job as well.
Of course.
Bartender and chaperone.
Bartender and chaperone. Oh, yeah. Do you remember when we were growing up, though? Did your mum and dad have a little bar in their room, in their lounge?
No.
And they had all that, didn't they? Oh, mum and dad had one. I can see it now. A little.
Auntie Olive did it. Auntie Olive
did. Oh, did she?
Yeah.
It was like a half moon, and then with sort of a padded.
Oh,
front.
Right. A proper bar.
Yeah.
Oh, right. No, Auntie Olive just had a drinks cabinet, you know, which you pulled down a sort of thing, and it got drinks inside.
But, yeah. Well, no.
This
was
proper bar.
It's sort of a half a moon that stood on its own. It was self-standing, and it was sort of padded with those little buttons, sort of a plasticky front, but looked all right.
Yeah.
It wasn't huge, but you lots of shelves, and you could put all your bits and pieces under there. So Mum would have, especially at this time of year, Advocar. That was definitely there. Cherry brandy this time of year.
And
a martini or something or other. But they also had those little shakers, those little metal things that you can do your...
Yeah. And do you remember them actually standing behind it and serving drinks?
Yes, because they always used to have a New Year's Eve party with friends coming round. That was lovely. I don't think we do enough of those, do we now?
No. Talking of which, the other thing that James Beard, not in this book, but in Delights and Prejudices, he talks about doing a cocktail buffet, which apparently is neither a buffet nor a cocktail party. And he talks about what kind of food to serve at a cocktail buffet. And, you know, it sounds lovely. I would have loved to have gone around to
James
Beard's house. Yeah, because he says it's not worth doing little things. You know, like people buy party food and stuff like that nowadays. And he says just do something like roast a piece of beef and get some really nice bread and some pickles and mustard and things like that. Yeah. And you think, oh, I could go for that. Or he says, just get loads of burger buns and make burgers and everybody can have burgers. Mm. And you think, that's what you want, don't you? You want something that's stress-free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe, though, would James have this? Just going back to this one that we were meant to mention in the I Hate to Cook book, horseradish bread. Now, you know how...
Horseradish?
You know how strong horseradish is. I mean, I love it.
Horseradish bread.
It says, no. Well, you would have bread.
Oh, bread. Oh, God, horseradish bread.
That is a type of paint, isn't it? That's a description of a paint, that is.
Horseradish bread. Yeah. Oh, it's by Farrow and Ball, I'm sure it is.
It's got to be. It's got to be. No, but this is... Combine 2 tablespoons of horseradish with 1/4 cup of butter and spread on thin sliced bread rounds. And that's it. You have horseradish bread.
Oh, so it's like garlic bread, but with horseradish.
Horseradish!
Yeah.
I've never thought about having horseradish bread. Have you?
Oh, I no, but I quite fancy a bit now, especially with James Beard's roast beef.
Oh. So that's what you do. 2 tablespoons of horseradish with 1/4 cup of butter. There you go. Have a go and let me know.
Nice. I will. Mm. Yeah.
So you talked about Mum earlier. Is that our June moment, or have you got something else for us?
Well, apart from the most ridiculous conversation I had with her this morning, I think she thought that I was going to an event in Leeds. So I said, oh, it's been... postponed. And she says, who is Paul? I said, Paul who? She says, I thought you said Paul's phoned. It's like, no, I said it's been postponed.
I now know what you're going to get your mum for Christmas, surely, for goodness. Does she need a new hearing aid?
Hearing aid, yeah. I need one as well.
Oh, from now on, my postponed is going to be known as Paul phoned. Thank you, as always, for getting in touch, be it on our Instagram, Facebook and Pinterest pages, or email podcast@theshapbagley.co.uk. And if you like what you hear, please do leave a review if you feel the urge. We're also posting our own version of an advent calendar on our social media if you want to have a nosy. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Oh, hang on, it's H. What are you doing? Still up, love? Oh, you're just about to go for a snooze. Night, lovely.